Hello, friends, and welcome to this very special episode of Worldview Matters, as we're doing something a little different today, a one-hour roundtable, and you're in for a treat. So let me set it up like this. A journalist, an educator, and a pastor walk into the studio. Okay, but this is no joke. We are all ready to, we're going to talk about biblical worldview issues. We're going to talk about church, culture, media, politics, spiritual warfare ramping up in America and around the world, and whatever else we get to in an hour. With our three special guests, how should Bible-believing Christians respond in this moment that we're in? I'll introduce our guests next.
Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Welcome, brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm going to get right to our guests today on this special roundtable edition of Worldview Matters. First of all, from Liberty Sentinel, it's the great Alex Newman, zooming in from Florida. Brother, thank you for joining us. Hello.
It's a great honor to be here. Thank you for having me, Dave.
Thanks for being part of this, brother. And next, we have Dr. Jake Jacobs, our educator and author, brother from One Nation at Freedom Project. Thanks, Jake.
Shalom, David.
And also Pastor David Roth, One Way Christian Church, Green Bay, Wisconsin. Brother, thank you for being here.
Thank you, David. Appreciate it.
All right, so let's start. Alex, I'm going to go to you because you just got back from a Liberty Pastors training camp, boot camp. I've been to a couple. Pastor David's been to one, and we're all trying to do similar work here. Tell us about what you just did. I think that really needs to get out even more and more. Tell us about the training camp.
Well, thank you, brother. This was the 23rd, and if I'm not mistaken, I have taught at every single one. So praise the Lord. It's been amazing.
Wow.
I think we've got, we've trained almost 3,000 pastors now. It's an amazing program. I told Paul yesterday, Paul Blair, former NFL football player, pastor of Liberty Church, leader of the Liberty Pastors Network. I do believe this is one of the most important things that God is doing in our country right now. And it's really under the radar, which is great. You know, sometimes you do stuff and you get the purple haired guys that come and want to scream at you. And sometimes the police get called. Here, we don't even have the fake media to deal with. You know, we just, you know, minding our own business, loving the Lord, preaching, teaching. So it was a lot of fun. We had sold out. Everyone has been sold out. Every one of the last ones that I can remember has been totally sold out way in advance. But it was great. We had pastors from Puerto Rico, all over Florida, different parts of the country. We had a lot of great teaching. Bill Federer gave just an absolutely amazing talk. My own pastor, Pastor Seth Tweedale, he's the state director of Turning Point Faith here in Florida, gave a brilliant talk, just wonderful, wonderful teaching on how the Bible applies to every area of life. I love the way Paul Blair starts it. Is Jesus the Lord of every area of your life? If not, that's the area we need to work on. So praise the Lord. Good teaching. Everybody I talked to was loving it. And we got one more this year, folks, up in Michigan. So if you have a pastor who needs to learn this, send them to Michigan. Massively subsidized, like literally $99. They can come with their wife, stay at a beautiful hotel, eat delicious food. All they got to do is listen to some great teaching from some amazing men of God.
Praise God. I'm so glad, Alex, that you mentioned that. And I wanted to start it off with that. It's wonderful. Liberty Pastors, friends, get your pastor involved with that if you can. Jake Jacobs, you were just out in Arizona.
Yes.
And were you in Phoenix?
I was in Phoenix the day of Charlie's memorial.
Yes. Okay, you were there. So were 277,000
others,
from what I understand.
Yes.
So tell us about your experience there. I know how you felt. We've all been kind of emotional. I think it hit us all really hard, the assassination of Charlie Kirk.
Yeah.
And we're not idolizing him, but we've got to keep this all in perspective, friends. This is important. It affected us because we believe the same things biblically, and he was killed for it. So, Jake, just tell us your experience in Arizona and Phoenix there, and just whatever you want to share.
Well, I'd like to preface it with I had the honor of working with Charlie in Scottsdale, Arizona, at a conference called the Freedom Expo. And it was kind of nice to meet him, and at the time his fiance Erica introduced him to my wife and my daughter Anastasia, and even then I was impressed with his character, his gentleness. When it happened, when I found out, I was in absolute shock like the rest of us. And the amazing thing, and I know he was profoundly involved in the world of politics, but for him numero uno was his faith in Jesus Christ and how he lived his faith, how he projected and professed his faith in such an incredibly gracious way. And you saw that come out loud and clear, the worship that was going on there.
Amazing.
Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ's name was invoked over and over and over. And it could have been Secretary of State, Rubio, nice encapsulized summary of the gospel. It was just unbelievable how the gospel of Jesus Christ was proclaimed. And it was a testimony to Charlie. No, we don't put him on a pedestal. But we certainly do have profound respect for what he was all about, the grace he brought to the table in the midst of the American university that's been so Marxified, so to speak, Marxification of education, and the way he would go into the lion's den, look at those young people, and many of them having their discombobulated worldview, and when they would come at him with venom, he had such a gracious, winsome way without compromising truth that I absolutely loved. In fact, I'm almost 70 years old, and that 31-year-old man had a lot to teach this old guy, seriously.
Well, I think all of us could say the same thing, because we haven't always responded with grace and love and respect to people who we might consider our enemies. He was a one in a million, one of a kind. So Pastor David Roth, you gave a little message at church after the assassination, and thank you for that. I don't think a lot of pastors around the country did. I know Liberty pastors did, but a lot maybe shied away because they have the wrong idea of separation of church and state. They think Charlie Kirk was too, quote, political. We'll talk about that, but you did talk about it.
Yes.
And now you are hosting at your church a biblical citizenship course, which you already did last year. Tell us about what kind of response you got from your message about Charlie Kirk and what happened and why you're doing Biblical Citizenship Patriot Academy at your church.
Yeah, well, I think it speaks to Charlie's legacy, right? I mean, I believe at a high level, Charlie did just a masterful job of reaching multiple generations, not just college kids, multiple generations in explaining the rightful and proper connection between a Christian biblical worldview and politics. And so many in the church want to avoid politics, but God created and designed civil government. And sadly, the church over time has willingly handed over God's design and institution of civil government to an unbelieving secular world.
And the
question is why? Why would we do that? And so I think, you know, Charlie did a great job also of communicating to people, methodically, intellectually, logically, and using history, using data, using facts, using scripture to explain how every society has a moral structure. It's just a question of what type of moral structure it is. And so we need to return to the roots of this nation, which was based on a Christian-based moral structure and has an influence. God's design for his people and his church is to be the moral influence of his creation.
Amen.
And so why would we not want to be a moral influence on civil government and politics? Yeah. And Christians act surprised that an unbelieving secular world who governs this nation are developing laws that don't align with our Christian values.
Yeah.
So we need to return to that. And so biblical citizenship is one way of doing it. Patriot Academy puts on an amazing curriculum, and they do a great job of walking Christians through the importance of being involved in the public square. And that's where we think it's important. And I think it needs to happen more and more from the pulpit across the nation.
Yes, it does. We've lost the application of salt and light from the Bible. And John R.W. Stott, the theologian, once said, we should not ask what's wrong with this world, because that diagnosis has already been given. What we should ask is, what has happened to the salt and light? The church, who is supposed to influence? Who's got more influence right now? Well, secular culture. But that's, we'll talk about that. Alex Newman, back to you. Back to the memorial of Charlie Kirk, for Charlie Kirk, I was amazed at everybody exalting the name of Jesus. The gospel was clearly proclaimed. It was just really astounding, and I've never seen anything like that. The worship that was going on for hours beforehand. But I want to talk to you not about the responses of people that hated Charlie Kirk, who said maybe they celebrated his death after the assassination. That was horrific. But now we know, actually, that opened a lot of eyes. But I want to talk to you about Christians or professing Christians, maybe, and how they responded, being concerned about Turning Point USA. They were accusing Charlie of being NAR or ecumenism because they had a Catholic or a Mormon speak. And I'm thinking, okay, first of all, TPUSA is not a church. Charlie was not a pastor. Your thoughts on that, Alex, because this really disappointed me, but it also showed how much confusion maybe there is about Christianity, worldview, politics, and America. Go ahead and share your thoughts.
Well, thank you, Dave. And, you know, for me, this was personal. I knew Charlie. I had done many events with him. I spoke at Turning Point USA events. I was a keynote speaker at their education event just last year. And Charlie was always so kind to me. He bought hundreds of copies of my books to give to any teacher, school board member that wanted it. And the last time he came on my show, the last real long public conversation I had with him, I went back and watched it after getting the news, and it hit me hard. I haven't cried about somebody's death since my dad died, but wow. You know, this was really hard. And I asked Charlie, what's the problem that we're facing? What's the threat that our nation is facing today? And he didn't even hesitate. He said, it is demonic in its core. We're seeing unclean spirits taking the form of the woke. Man, that is a good diagnosis. In fact, it's exactly what the Bible teaches. Charlie understood that. And then I asked him, what is the solution to the problems we're facing? He said, first and foremost, we need a spiritual transformation. He's exactly right. Then he said, we need parents and families to reclaim education from the state. I could not agree with him more. Parents need to be the disciplers of their children. So when I saw Christians, some of them, I'm sure, believers, you know, with a relationship with the Lord, believing misinformation, others, I think, apostate, and some just Christians in name only, really just saying crazy things like Charlie was a hater. You know, that stuff is heartbreaking. And you know, I want to be charitable here. I think the reality is these people were horrifically misinformed by the lying, dishonest, fake media. This is a satanic propaganda megaphone. And so, you know, we're not surprised that demonically possessed, demonically inspired individuals would cheer about this. I hope the demons cheer when I die, right? I mean, it's praise the Lord for that. But to see Christians saying it, to see some pastors saying this from the pulpits, and to see other pastors too scared because they're worried somebody in the congregation might have heard the smears about Charlie Kirk, that was really heartbreaking. You know, I regard Charlie, first of all, as a martyr for Jesus Christ. You know, the media frames him as a political activist. This baloney. Yes, he was involved in politics. I believe in America, all Christians should want to be involved in politics to try to improve their nation, to try to love their neighbor. But he was first and foremost about the gospel. He was first and foremost about the Great Commission. If you look at his speeches, if you look at what he was doing with these college kids, that was the Great Commission in action. The Great Commission is not go send people to other countries and tell them Jesus loves you. That's not what the Great Commission is. It was baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey all that I have commanded you. And so it didn't matter the issue. It could be marriage. It could be gender. It could be politics. It could be abortion. It could be anything, culture, entertainment. Charlie always brought it back to the scripture, said, here's what God says about this. This is how we should think about it. That is right there the essence of discipling the nations. And so I was heartbroken to see that. I think these people need to repent, frankly. I think they need to apologize publicly for that. But we've got a long way to go. And I think it tells you a lot about the state of the church today.
Jake, do you want to chime in on that? And while you're at it, as part of your response, I would love for you to maybe explain why we should not have an issue with people calling us a Christian nationalist. You know, I think we need to define our terms. But go ahead, whatever you want to share based on what Alex said.
When he mentioned about the social media influencers, I mean, it is appalling. Yeah. Not only is it profoundly full of Jew hate and profound Christian hate, and the sad influence on this is it not only influences non-believers, but there's a lot of believers who've been influenced by this. And part of the problem makes me think of Francis Schaeffer's book, The Great Evangelical Disaster, that I read back in the 80s, where he gave a warning to the church. and said, if you allow postmodernity and various expressions of Marxism or socialism to creep within the church or within the culture, you're going to water down Christian orthodoxy. And we're finding, unfortunately, a lot of churches are going in that direction. And so there isn't proper hermeneutics, exegesis, a proper interpretation of the text.
Right.
And then you have this just amalgamation of a hodgepodge of various opinions and viewpoints. And so when something like this tragedy happens, of this assassination of this great Christian young man, a lot of people, they're not going to the text. They're going to what the culture is telling them, the social media, and a lot of it has to do with they just don't know the Word of God. They do not have, to steal from you, a biblical worldview that really matters. And yeah, they're easily influenced and swayed.
So is Christian nationalism a bad thing?
Well, it all depends on what you mean by that. If you mean that the United States of America was created as some theocratic, absolutist nation.
Which we weren't.
Absolutely not. We weren't. We were influenced by biblical values, biblical principles and things related. Many of the founding fathers were Orthodox Christians. This is a myth that somehow they were a bunch of deists. There were a few deists, but overwhelmingly they were Orthodox. And they could read the Bible in Hebrew and Greek. Not only did they know Cicero and Cato and Plato and Plutarch, they knew Moses and Malachi in Hebrew. You know, they knew St. Paul in Greek. I mean, Harvard was founded as a Christian institution.
Yes.
Yale,
yes.
The Ivy League schools. And so that was their life setting. That was their worldview. That's what they drew from. So this was created as a republic under God, influencing the American citizenry with that belief and understanding. But as you know, organizations like Freedom from Religion Foundation, ACLU, and others, and these left-wing progressives, they've destroyed a proper presentation of America's early foundation. And it's influenced too many in this country.
And I don't want to dive too deeply into why that is. I think the institutions have been taken over.
Yes.
So you're not getting the truth, the biblical worldview, you're getting the propaganda or the lies. But as you know, if you repeat the lies over enough, then people are going to start believing it. So, and you guys, Alex and Jake, you can chime in on anything else. That I'm going to turn to Pastor David Roth and talk about Hillary Clinton and her recent comments doubling down. Well, you know what? She's part of the conversation now. We're a threat, right? Charlie Kirk and what he believed, what we believe. From the biblical worldview, white Christian men is what Hillary apparently has an issue with. So, David, this is a problem for all of us. It's not just for people in politics, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, the interesting thing is, you know, you guys have talked about how even Christians are falling and being influenced by the social media and the deception of really the enemy, right? Because this is spiritual war.
Yeah.
And part of the spiritual war and the tactics that they use is the war of words, right? I mean, Saul Alinsky wrote the book Rules for Radicals, and he said, well, there it is.
Right there. Oh, my goodness.
Right there.
Jake brought it in.
And he said, he who controls the language controls the masses. Mm. And so this labeling that is used by Hillary Clinton, by others, is so effective that you have even Christians derogatorily speaking about other Christians and labeling them and vilifying them for being Christian nationalists. But Hillary's comments go even further than that. So, I mean, in her words, white men with a certain persuasion. So
certain religion, I think she said.
Well, she said persuasion.
Persuasion?
She did, yeah.
She said white men with a certain persuasion, which would be white straight men.
Which would be all the people on this panel today.
Yep. And That's us. Guilty.
She went on to say, we have a certain religion and a certain point of view. So in Hillary Clinton's world, and the enemy is saying white, straight, Christian, conservative men are the problem in this nation. And she even went on to say, doing damage in this nation.
Wow. Yeah.
And so the intent is to vilify, attack, and destroy the character and trustworthiness of Christians. And they're very effective with that strategy. But Charlie Kirk and others like him and others within the church need to stand up and just simply stick with the truth, stick with the facts, because there is generations upon generations who are just starved for the truth,
yes,
and starving to belong to something bigger than themselves.
Yeah. Yep.
And he did a masterful job. And he was able always to respond. Hillary Clinton doesn't want to debate issues. She just wants to character assassinate.
Well, that's what the left does.
And that's what the left does. And they vilify people, even to the point where they got enough control of the masses to assassinate Shirley Kirk.
Can I just add real quick?
Yeah, absolutely.
Real quick. It's not a coincidence, by the way, that Hillary Clinton's mentor was Saul Alinsky.
Yeah, that's right.
And the first radical was Lucifer.
And the book is dedicated to Lucifer.
He says the first radical is Lucifer. It's not a coincidence.
It's a spiritual
war. Spot on, Pastor.
If you believe true history, and Alex, you know you're a better historian than... Well, yeah, Jake is a pretty good...
Alex is a better historian, I concede.
So who is doing damage to America? Is it the white, heterosexual, Christian male? Or is it the radical left and Democrat socialists and whatever, Marxists and others, who are destroying the roots? They're trying to chip away at the true foundation of this nation. Because I believe it's them, not us. But, and we are not the same, by the way, from a spiritual perspective or even any other perspective. But Alex, I want to go to you with this after I read a couple headlines and give you some stats and ask where do we go from here when... We know that the media and the left and the main leaders of the Democrat Party, they're not changing their language or their rhetoric. Nancy Pelosi said it's not our fault that, you know, our rhetoric is not leading to these violent actions or shootings. So they're not taking responsibility. That hasn't changed. 45% of Democrats downplay violent crime as, quote, not that much of a problem. Rasmussen reports 54% of voters who identify as liberal agreed that Charlie Kirk, quote, was speaking hateful words and his assassination was therefore, quote, understandable. Approximately 40% of Democrats agreed. Another poll, 20% of voters who identify as liberal believe that political violence can be justified. So this is a new place we're in. Alex, and we don't fight fire with fire. We are not to do that. We are to love. We are to speak the truth. But give us your insight on anything you'd like to share about where we're at.
Well, thank you. And I think probably the most concise and, in my opinion, perfect explanation for what we're seeing now is actually found in 2 Timothy in chapter 2 and verse 26. The Apostle Paul writes about these people and that they should come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. What we have in this country, unfortunately, is a massive and growing population that has been taken captive by Satan to do his will. And it wasn't always that way in this country. We were founded, I will say it unequivocally, as a Christian nation. The people who came here, 99% plus professing Christians. The first people who arrived at the first landing in 1607, the first thing they did when they got off the ship, put up a big cross under the leadership of their chaplain, Reverend Robert Hunt. They prayed that God would use this land to be an evangelist to the world and take the kingdom of God to every corner of this planet. And they promised to raise up faithful generations after them. You look at the Mayflower. Why did they say they were coming? Well, in the Mayflower Compact, they were very clear. For the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. You look at the first Articles of Confederation when the New England colonies confederated in 1643. They said, we all came here to enjoy the gospel of Jesus Christ and liberties with purity and peace. Word for word, what they said. You look even at our Constitution, which a bunch of dishonest and ignorant people try to claim was a secular or a Freemason document. Absolutely not. There was a phenomenal speech, and I want to give people homework if I can. The great head of Harvard University, Samuel Langdon, in 1788, preached in front of the New Hampshire legislature, encouraging them to ratify this constitution. And he said explicitly, this thing is based on the revelations that God has given to the ancient Hebrews about government. That's what this constitution is. It takes those principles of government, puts them into the law. Y'all should ratify it. And so what we have now is after multiple generations of handing our children over to be indoctrinated by an unbiblical system, we have probably a majority of the population that does not think biblically about anything. And so they hear a term like Christian nationalist and the fake media uses it with a stigma and they say, oh, I don't want that. not thinking, well, what would be the alternative? Godless or pagan or demonic globalism? Is that what you want? Right. So they've set up a trap here with the term Christian nationalism. And I don't want to go in too much depth on that, but they're trying to put a stink on it for a very strategic reason. But if you just stop and think about it, do you want Christian nationalism? Do you want a Christian nation? Do you want to be a Christian patriot? Or do you want to be a godless, demonic, satanic, pagan globalist? Because those are your options. And as for me, I'll take a Christian nation any day of the week. I was thrilled to see the name of Jesus Christ lifted high by some of the highest authorities in our land just a couple weeks ago.
Amen. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I know all three of you could say the same thing as Joshua did. So, Jake, I wanted to ask you, we have a little bit of time, I think, to squeeze this in. Education, major problem in America. You're a former educator. I think you're always an educator, right? Once you're a teacher, and you were a great teacher. In other words, you didn't shy away from the truth of our biblical founding, and you took a lot of heat for that from the staff and your co-teachers.
Yes, I did.
You know, maybe even from some students. You were rare in that sense, and it's sad that you were the minority.
Yeah, in fact, when I wrote my first book, The Gospel, God's Law, and Government, The Biblical Worldview of the Founding Fathers, did it hit the fan, I'm telling you. No, literally, the superintendent of schools went to my boss and told him to tell me that I shouldn't be publishing books like that, and I needed to be careful.
Oh my goodness!
And when he said this to me, he made sure there were no students around. Am I living in Moscow, Soviet Union? I mean, is this Havana, Cuba? I mean, what's going on here? You're telling me, in a nation that believes in the First Amendment, expression of worshiping God and speaking freely and publishing freely, and no uncertain terms, they were trying to shut me up. In fact, my file in the principal's office was that thick because I was in the office all the time for sharing the gospel or sharing the historical, the Judeo-Christian roots of American history, but I got in trouble for doing that all the time.
Wow. I love for you to share this story. You did, I think, in a past episode that I had you on Worldview Matters, when you were interviewed by Fox News, when they were, the socialists and the Democrats and the mob was coming against Governor Scott Walker, trying to recall Walker, and you were at the state capitol. And you took a lot of heat as a teacher at that time for standing up for Governor Walker. Yeah. Tell us briefly, because that's sad, I think, for a lot of people to hear, that a lot of teachers are so far left or supporting socialism and whatever else.
Yeah, it was on a Saturday when I was teaching a college course for Lakeland. It was then called Lakeland College. And my wife called me during my break and she said, Jake, Fox News has called and they're looking for some teacher to be able to defend Governor
Walker.
Can
we find one
teacher?
They couldn't
find anybody. So I called them and I said, you don't know what you're asking. And I could tell the Lord was saying, you can talk a tough talk, but now you're going to walk the walk. Mm. So long story short, went down to Madison, defended Governor Walker, was blown away at how everybody called him Adolf Hitler, Benito Mussolini, Joseph Stalin. These were teachers, mind you. And I would go up to him and say, do you know the history of the Holocaust? What a Hitler is really like. Came back to school on Monday. They had an emergency faculty meeting. When I walked in, you would have thought either Donald Trump or Adolf Hitler walked in, because the hatred was just thick. And I had colleagues attack me, although it was quite ugly. But I would do it over 1,000 times over again, because it's more important for us to stand for the truth than any other job security situation.
Amen. And I know you condensed that quite a bit, and I appreciate
that.
And Alex and Pastor David, I know we probably all have similar stories, maybe not on that level where Fox News is interviewing us. But so, David, I don't want to let time escape before I get to this question I wanted to ask each one of you. And what, as a pastor, what is your biggest concern for the church and or America right now? Because I think some people have said we're either at a tipping point or a turning point, to use that kind of language.
Yeah.
What are your concerns?
I think the greatest concern in the church is biblical illiteracy. Yeah. I think it leads to silence. It leads to indifference in the church. And, I mean, James 2:17, right? Faith itself without works is dead, right? And so I think a lack of appreciation, understanding of who God is, knowledge of God, his holiness, is resulting in people not having a reverent fear. And the more you know God, the more you know Scripture, the more action it leads to in your faith. You start walking the walk. Mm. And so my greatest fear is that we have churches, hundreds and thousands of churches across the world who have church members sitting there with not an understanding of what Scripture says and who God is. And it clearly has led to the silence that we see in this country. I mean, you mentioned schools as an example. This has been a slow march through
Antonio Gramsci.
Antonio Gramsci.
I think all of us are. Yeah.
The
law,
slow
the
march.
Major institution,
the culture, the classroom, the churches. Yes, yes.
Yeah, and the number two goal of the 45 goals of communism is to take over public schools and to dummy down schools. And so the church continues just to sit in silence, and we can't do that. We can't do that. We need to speak up for the truth, stand firm in our faith, because Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is the answer and solution. So if we have a bunch of Christians who don't know Scripture well, that's my greatest concern. That's my greatest concern.
Oh. So, Alex, I want to maybe kind of follow up on what Pastor David just shared and ask you a two-pronged question. The first question I asked him, what is your biggest concern, Alex Newman, either for the church or our country? And how has the enemy been so successful to get to the point where we are today?
Yeah, I would echo the pastor's concerns 100%. Yeah, the lack of biblical understanding, the lack of biblical worldview, and this is not speculation. We've seen the data out of George Barna's operation. We have, in some cases, like less than 10% of the population has a biblical worldview. Even the numbers for pastors are atrocious. How in the world is a pastor supposed to shepherd his flock properly if he doesn't know the Bible, if he doesn't know what the Bible says about all the issues? And I'm also concerned about growing divisions in the church. You know, we don't want to embrace or even tolerate heresy. But at the same time, we don't need to go to war with our Christian brothers and sisters because they have a slightly different understanding of eschatology or some minor doctrinal difference. And I see it a lot. And I just want to remind people of John chapter 17. You know, Jesus prayed that we would be united, that we would walk in unity. And again, that's not a suggestion that we tolerate heresy or false doctrine. Those need to be rebuked. Those need to be corrected. But, you know, I see so much of it, like so many churches, you have like a circular firing squad. Like, well, I disagree with you on this point, and so we can't walk together. We can't be brothers anymore. And I think that's very dangerous.
Yeah.
I think, especially in this time when we see the church under siege from the world, from the culture, from the government, at least we have a little reprieve on that, it seems like. But we need to be united, standing firm in the faith. And I'll add to that, cowardice as well. You know, how many times does the Bible tell us not to fear? God didn't give us a spirit of fear. In fact, if you go to Revelation, you'll find the first ones listed among those who are going to be in big trouble are the cowards. So let's not be cowardly. Let's be bold and courageous for the Lord.
Amen. And Alex, I want to stay with you for another minute or two here, because I before I turn it over to Dr. Jake Jacobs, I wanted to ask about the media briefly. We seem to understand that they're not going to change. I think this is a worldview war. I think they are just too far. I don't want to say they're too far gone, because God can reach anybody.
Amen.
But we're not getting, most Americans are not getting the truth from most media outlets. I mean, you are a true journalist. I don't have to put air quotes around Alex Newman, journalist. No air quotes around Alex Newman, journalist. But so what's the solution? Because I hear them trumpeting the same talking points that Christians, conservatives, the Trump administration is a threat to democracy, fascism, and all these things. What's your take as a true journalist on the state of the media, and what do we do about it?
Yeah, I think most journalists today, and I should put that in air quotes, they're not journalists in any sense of the term, right?
No.
They're propagandists. They are. And they've lost sight of the purpose of journalism. You know, for me, I'm a Christian first, and so I apply the Scripture to my vocation. And in this case, my vocation is journalism. And I love Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. It says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And a lot of journalists want to go have a lot of fellowship with the darkness. They want to be cool. They want to be in the in club. They want to go hobnob with the weirdos at the World Economic Forum or the United Abominations, instead of going there and asking the hard questions and bringing back the facts so that people can decide for themselves what's going on here. It's very dangerous. And so what I would say is we need new institutions. I mean, we do have some great outlets, your outlet, what Freedom Project Media is doing, the New American Magazine. You know, there's a lot of great outlets there, but we need to build new institutions that are solidly based on biblical principles that are going to do what they're supposed to be doing. In the case of journalism, telling the truth, exposing wickedness, being honest. In the case of education, giving children the tools that they need for a biblical worldview, teaching them to know God and make him known, as our friends at Classical Conversation say. So we need new institutions across the board. And on the bright side, on the subject of media, we have a massive awakening on this front. I mean, I've seen polls where well over half of Americans now identify the media as enemies of the people. Not totally comfortable with the language. It reminds me of something Castro might say, but they are enemies of the people, right? So we need to be honest about that. The fact that Americans recognize this is huge, and that's not going to go away, right? These people aren't going to go back to sleep and say, oh, you know what? I trust CNN today. So we have the momentum. We have the wind in our sails. God's doing something incredible in our country. Let's capitalize on that, and let's go all the way and start building completely new institutions separate from these demonic strongholds masquerading as journalism or education or healthcare or whatever it may be.
Amen, brother. Masquerading as journalists and whatever else. Dr. Jake Jacobs, your biggest concern for either the church or the country, maybe both, in this time that we're in right now?
Well, I heard a lot of optimism from Alex, because we know that God is sovereign.
Absolutely.
And this is all, his plan is unfolding as we're graciously a part of it.
Yeah.
There are times, though, I think because, you know, I do this for a living and I travel around the country giving speeches, usually to college age, high school age kids. And I get reinvigorated when I'm around them because their parents are doing a wonderful job. And 80% of the time, they're not in public schools. They're either homeschooled, they're in good Christian schools, so they're really developing a good biblical worldview. But then when I go into the world of social media, because that's what we do, I get really depressed because we see literally big social media influencers like a Candace Owens and others who have millions and millions following them, and her ideas or their ideas are wedging into their worldview, maybe that their parents taught them, that they learned at school, et cetera, at Christian schools. And then they've turned around. They change. And the influence is profoundly demonic and satanic. There's no doubt about it. So I sound pessimistic, although when I get around individuals, when I go do my thing and speaking, I get optimistic again going, oh, around this country, there are literally millions of Americans who are having what I would call a counter-revolution to this kind of 1960s Marxist, socialist, Gramsciist revolution that was destroying our Judeo-Christian, our Christian nation as it used to be.
Well, just look at TPUSA and all the new chapter requests.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
It is exploding.
Right.
What do you think the impact of that's going to be?
Well, I
what optimism.
It's already very incredibly profound. Even my daughter has been influenced, and my son-in-law, they recently married about a year ago, and it was just over. Her birthday was yesterday. He said, Jake, Dad, father-in-law, whatever, he said, I used to be woke. And he said, because of Charlie Kirk and people like him, I'm no longer woke. And I'm constantly in prayer for my son-in-law and for my daughter, of course, and my grandson, because there is hope. And so the point is that people like Charlie Kirk and others within his organization, I think they understand it, that the most important thing is, Charlie said when he was asked, what's the most important thing? That I live my life for Christ and I live it under his grace and I share the gospel of Jesus Christ in a way that will win many to Christ.
Clearly. I mean, Alex, you did an interview, and I think the title, you recently resent that out, it's all about Jesus, because you interviewed Charlie Kirk. So yeah, it's no mistaking. But yeah, I've seen a lot of people put videos up there. Talk about, there is a dark corner and dark spots on the social media and on the web. But I've seen a lot of encouraging videos, and young people are saying, hey, this kind of woke me up. So this is a good, interesting time. I hope churches are ready for this. And Pastor David, back to you. Have you noticed more young people or people in general?
Yes.
Have there been new people in church? Are more people asking you? Have you noticed people since the assassination kind of going, whoa, what is this stuff about God?
Yeah.
Because Charlie's faith was unmistakable.
Yeah. Yeah. We definitely, the Sunday after and since, we've had new, younger adults coming and seeking the truth.
And a lot of churches have had that report.
Which is fantastic.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. God has given us mercy, this nation mercy, many times. He's been very gracious. I think last November was an act of mercy by God for this nation. And I think even the outcome of Charlie Kirk's assassination, God uses things for evil for good, right? And I believe God will mercifully and graciously allow us to use this tragedy for His glory.
Amen.
But the church has to be ready. And I think in order for this nation to turn, because right now we're in a wrath of abandonment from God, mm-hmm. right? We're experiencing Romans 1 here in this nation. And he's abandoning as wrath. And what the church needs to do is to bring about a revival, which means we have to, within the church, confess and repent of our sin as a church.
Our apathy. Yeah.
Yeah, our apathy, our silence. Acknowledge that. Acknowledge that and turn from that. Turn from that and allow these new people that are coming in to hear the truth from the pulpit. Get them engaged in Bible studies that are teaching the truth, not psychology. Not personal stories that make you feel good yeah. emotionally. Share the truth, and the Holy Spirit will bring about conviction and change people's hearts forever. And that's what this nation needs.
Yes.
And the church has to step up to do that.
Yeah.
David, as a U.S. history teacher, it makes me think of the first Great Awakening when, before the American Revolution, and I know Alex was actually intimating to that earlier, when you see that first Great Awakening and the preaching of Whitfield and others, and even Benjamin Franklin heard him and said, whoa, this guy could preach, right?
Yeah.
Not that he became a Christian, but the point is, it was the underpinning of the glorious American Revolution because of people like the Black Robe Regiment, etc. Now, fast forward to 1840s, 1850s, Second Great Awakening, leading to the eradication of slavery in the land. I mean, even the Civil Rights Movement had a strong Christian underpinning to it. Yeah. You can't read Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech and not, he's quoting Amos and the prophet Isaiah, etc. Well, reflecting what the pastor is saying, this could be a third Great Awakening. The country desperately, the souls of Americans desperately need that.
Yeah. There are pockets of revival. We've seen little signs of it in recent years, but this could be a catalyst of what happened to Charlie Kirk. I hope and pray it is, and that the church is ready and that God will use this. We just want to go along with what God is doing. You can't manufacture a revival.
Yeah.
You can't manipulate the Holy Spirit.
Exactly.
But I really believe that this could be a great time, a great new season in America. But Alex, I want to turn it over to you and go back to the unfortunate truth that there are more people becoming radicalized, maybe because of the internet, maybe because of the left and the Antifa and whoever else. There's an article that came out about a month ago over at the New York Post on the Charlie Kirk assassination investigation. It widened, the FBI stated, because of these pro-trans violent activists and other people online that seemed to maybe have some foreknowledge of what was going to happen to Charlie Kirk. But if you scroll down in this article, you've got pictures of transgenders with guns, and there's a group called Salt Lake City, what was it?
Armed Queers,
Salt Lake City. So these are very real. This is not just Salt Lake City. This is not just one city or one state in the country. This movement, because of the web, because of the radicals on the left and the funding, this is not a natural, right? This is being funded. We're going to be seeing more of this, unfortunately, the more trans violence. But your thoughts on this, Alex, and where we're at and how Christians can maybe respond?
Well, I think it is clearly demonic, and we've seen it over and over and over again. Now, I don't think we know the whole story yet about what happened with Charlie Kirk. We may never know the whole story about what happened with him. But one of the things that we do know is that we're seeing a lot of demonic activity when it comes to this transgender issue and also to the violence. The shooting that we had at the church in Minneapolis not too long before Charlie Kirk was assassinated, I saw some of the pictures, the drawings that this guy was making. He literally had a drawing of himself looking in the mirror, and a demon was staring back at him, telling him what to do. You look at this confused young lady, this girl that shot up the Presbyterian school in Tennessee. Same kind of phenomenon. Very, very clearly demonic activity here. And we shouldn't be surprised. This is what the Bible tells us about the nature of the conflict that we find ourselves in. If you go to Ephesians chapter 6, which I constantly point people toward, it is very, very clear. We're dealing not just with flesh and blood here. That's not our enemy.
Amen.
We're really dealing with powers and principalities, spiritual wickedness and darkness in high places. And it's now becoming more obvious. We have doctrines of demons being taught to children under the guise of education. And we have children now dabbling in the occult in school. They're forcing them to do pagan rituals. They're forcing them to summon spirits into the classroom. They're literally doing witchcraft just right here in Orlando. Just yesterday, I got the press release from Liberty Council that they had to force the Orange County School District to stop doing witchcraft in the school. So this is going to open the door for these kinds of demonic phenomenon. And once you go to full-blown possession, I mean, once these people are completely taken over by demonic entities, and you give them AR-15s, you give them gasoline, you give them explosives, whatever, there will be absolute havoc. And the only way back is, again, revival, going back to the Lord, back to what the Word of God says, and expelling this wickedness, suppressing this wickedness in every possible way.
You want to add anything to that, Jake?
Andy Noah was a journalist who was almost killed by Antifa.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was just watching him the other day, and he was talking about what he calls Trans-Tifa.
Yeah.
And he says what's happening is Antifa is working with these militant transgender types. And he says he's very, very concerned about the direction that they're going. And, you know, I'm not one to defend the alphabet people, the LGBTQ, but there's even a civil war within the LGB versus the T and the Q. No, literally, there is a civil war within that anything goes is in world, because they are incredibly, because they are in essence saying, you're going to do as we say. We demand you speak this way. We demand you act this way. We demand that we, a he pretending to be a she or she pretending to be a he, we can do what we want, when we want, how we want. And now they're getting to the point where if anybody like a Charlie Kirk or an Alex Newman or others, if they speak out, you now become public enemy number one.
Yeah.
And there's a target on us.
Yeah, there is. So I don't want to run out of time before I wanted to get this question into all three of you. And Pastor David, we'll start with you. Will the American church start waking up and engaging? And if in your, I know this is speculation to some degree, but if not, what is it going to take? I think of September 11. I think of the COVID 2020. And there's so many other things that happened in our country and even in my lifetime. But what is it going to take? Will the church wake up?
Yeah.
I know it can, because God's sovereignty, all things are possible.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, I hope and pray so. It's hard not to be somewhat skeptical based on, you know, our recent history, and then you just go back decades and decades and decades of what's happened in the American church. It's hard not to be skeptical, but God is sovereign. I pray that it is His will to bring about this revival. I don't know what else could happen other than another attack on this nation, possibly, to bring about that form of revival and that comeback, if you will, for the church. But, you know, He's a powerful God, and He bends His ear to us. And so it starts with prayer, and hopefully the church is on their knees and praying and to bring about this revival. And so can it happen? Of course.
Yes.
It can happen. Will it? I don't know.
Well, you know, I think more people are praying too.
Yeah.
And even people maybe who never don't know how to pray, and, you know, they just crying out to God based on recent events. And thank Alex Newman, I'll turn that same question to you. Will the American church, I guess pastors and, you know, individual Christians wake up and engage? And if not, what do you think it's going to take?
Well, we're always going to have that remnant, right? We know that the gates of hell will never prevail against the true church of Jesus Christ. But there are a lot of institutions, there are buildings that say church on them that are not really churches, right? The church is the body of Christ. The church is a supernatural institution, the body of all believers. And so we still have a strong, beautiful, incredible church in this country. Unfortunately, we also have massive apostasy. And I would love to say I think it's going to get turned around, and maybe it will. But there are also a lot of signs that our country is not just headed for judgment, but that it is already in judgment. The pastor mentioned Romans 1. I mean, you see that it's all over. We see the very things that are described in Romans 1, we see them now. And you know where that leads to, I don't know. So we need to work like it all depends on us, but trust that the Lord is sovereign. His will be done. If he chooses to be more merciful to our nation, we certainly don't deserve it. We deserve to be vaporized yesterday or earlier. But if he chooses to be merciful and allow us to have a revival, I will be so pleased. I will be so happy. And I think we need to work as hard as we can to try to make that happen.
Amen. Jacob, now, I'm coming to you next.
Well, I was just saying, did you see how he was so optimistic earlier and now he sounded more pessimistic? And I was the pessimistic guy because we all have to agree that, yep, in the midst of this darkness, if we take time out and we do seek God and we look up at the heavens declare his glory. Mm. And we know in Romans 1 where it says that all men know that there is a God. There's no such thing as an atheist. Can you imagine an atheist with 100,000 PhDs going before Yahweh, Jehovah? And, you know, Lord, I had you figured out because I went to Harvard and Yale. It's like, no way. God says, are you kidding me? I planted in your heart, in your soul, you knew I existed from before the foundation of the world.
No
excuse. And so my point is, my optimism in the midst of all the negativity and pessimism is that he is sovereign. He is King of King and Lord of Lords. And that's what I have to cling to, because sometimes in the midst of this battle, all of us are in the midst of this battle. If I don't look up, then I think I'm going to do it. Hmm. And I can't do it without Christ. I just can't do it. And I got to find a better way of articulating that to people who disagree with me, you know, which is not easy to do sometimes. I'm not Charlie Kirk.
Well, yeah, follow Jesus follow Charlie as he followed Jesus. And that model of just restrained love and respect for people, but he had the goods. He knew exactly. He was solid on his faith in the biblical worldview and on history. And the man was amazing. But so in your estimation, do you think the church will wake up? I mean, that's one of the hopes for this nation, that more Christians will engage and there will be more light because we are the light of the world. Will the church wake up? If not, what do you think it's going to take?
Okay. I believe there is an awakening. I see Pastor David Roth, correct? Yeah, here. I just met him. Sorry. Yeah. I mean, Alex Newman, he's teaching like a preacher.
Yeah.
He really is. I mean, literally, when I travel the country, Arizona, California, Michigan, wherever I go, I'm seeing families and kids and parents that are in love with Jesus Christ, and they were very concerned about the direction of our republic under God. So I'm seeing a lot of positivity. Yeah. When I was speaking negative, it's when I go into that world and see what they're about and see the hatred and see the vitriol and see the lies that are disseminated. Sometimes you just need, it's like Charlie Kirk, the book that's going to come out, they say that he wrote and it hasn't been published, is about the Sabbath.
Yeah.
Sometimes we need just to take a time out from this stuff and be with our family and seek his face so we can be recharged to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ.
That's what we're here for. I mean, if we are Christians and we're still here, God's got a purpose for us. And it's his will that all men will be saved, all people will be saved, and to come to a knowledge of the truth. Not everybody will, obviously, but that doesn't change our responsibility as ambassadors for King Jesus to represent him and to share the gospel and to hopefully make disciples. So I just want to make sure that people know where they can get in touch with all of you gentlemen. David, the website, One Way Christian Church in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Can you please give the website?
Yes, it's owccgb.org, and that's our website.
owccgb.org.
Yeah.
Alex Newman, libertysentinel.org. We're not done yet. We've got a few more minutes, but I just want to make sure people can get any other website you want to give, Alex, to any other work that you're doing?
Well, thank you. Yeah, we have a free newsletter at libertysentinel.org. Encourage people to sign up for that. Also, thenewamerican.com. And, you know, we do a lot at Freedom Project Media. They can check out the Newman Report there, Public School Exit, and on and on. But, let's get informed. It's just absolutely critical that people have good information. And as we discussed earlier, you're not going to get it from the fake media. So.
Yeah, you said that really fast. Public School Exit.
Yeah.
Make sure that people,
yep.
people are aware of those things. So, I've got a resource page at davidfiorazzo.com. I think there are well over 200 resources. Liberty Sentinel is on there and Freedom Project. Jake, people can get a hold of you at One Nation.
Yep, Freedom Project Media, One Nation.
One Nation.
On X at JakeJacobs1776.
1776.
Yep. It's a good year.
You had that in your phone number, I think. And your email address,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Must have been a very important year to you. 1776.
Of course. It's a righteous revolution.
So, brothers, I just want to take the last, I think, what do we have, a couple minutes here? 4 minutes? Four or 5 minutes. So, Alex, I just want to start with you, and I just want you to share your heart. You just came off of a great conference. You mentioned the remnant, brother, and thank you for reminding us the church, big picture in America, it's not just the lukewarm Church of Laodicea. It's not just the seeker-sensitive. It's not just the entertainment, worship-tainment church. There is a remnant of solid, Bible-believing churches, and there are Christians who really are serving God, representing Him well as ambassadors, who will hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." So thank you for reminding us about the remnant. But anything that's on your heart that you would like to share in just a minute or so?
Well, I believe one of the biggest problems that the church and the family and the nation are facing today is the education issue. And so I would encourage parents to prayerfully go to the scripture, see what it teaches on this. Go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, my children's favorite Bible verse. "Papa, you're provoking us to anger." But then it says, "Fathers, bring up your children in the fear, the discipline, the nurture, the admonition, the instruction of the Lord." Deuteronomy 6, Deuteronomy 11 has a good picture of what that looks like. Proverbs 22:6 has a powerful motivation right there. "You train them up in the way they should go. When they are old, they will not depart from it." We've got to reclaim our authority as parents, our responsibility as parents, not to educate, to disciple our children. And that very much includes education. This is not something you can farm out to people who hate your God and hate His word. We got to take it seriously. So I'll leave it there.
That's huge. Such a huge issue. Thank you, Alex. Pastor David Roth, just a minute, whatever's on your heart. Yeah. Final thoughts.
Yeah, I just would like to just have a plea out to fellow pastors locally and then throughout this nation to disciple, disciple your flock, be the shepherd, watch over them, teach them the truth. Jesus told us how to disciple. Teach them what the commands that to observe the commands that I've given you. So disciple them, warn them.
Yes.
Warn them and protect them. And please, the church is needed and pastors need to be doing this.
Liberty pastors.
Yes.
And don't back away from what are wrongly called political issues when they're issues of morality. The Bible speaks to all these things that people and especially young children are confused about in our culture today. Jake Jacobs, just a minute, share your heart.
You know, I have taped in my Bible from 47, 8 years ago. It's out of the prophet Ishayahu, Isaiah. "For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until her righteousness go forth as a brightness and her salvation as a lamp that burneth." That word salvation is the root word for Shua. And as we all know, Jesus' name is Yeshua, Yahweh, who saves us from our sins.
Amen.
And that's what we're all called to do. And it's not a coincidence that on the Liberty Bell, it quotes the Torah, Leviticus 25:10, "Proclaim liberty throughout the land and unto all the inhabitants thereof." And that's what we do through the power of Jesus Christ.
Well, gentlemen, I'm encouraged, even though we had to get into the dark weeds some and talk about what the culture was doing and how Christians can respond. But I'm very encouraged by this roundtable. It was great that we were able to get an educator, a journalist, and a pastor walk into a
bar?
Studio, not a bar. And we had a great great episode on Worldview Matters. Friends, thank you. Worldviewmatters.tv. Share this and other episodes. Make sure to look up Alex and Jake and Pastor David. So, brothers, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you, David.
Thank you. And friends,
thank you, gentlemen.
Share,
God bless you.
Share the podcast. Keep praying for us. Pray for Alex and his ministry. Pray for Jake and all that he does. Pray for Pastor David. We are here for such a time as this. At any time, we could be the next Charlie Kirk. I pray it never happens, and it's not possible, but just teach us to number our days that we may gain hearts of wisdom, right? Pray. And friends, God bless you. And as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter. Thank you.